Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All righty. Jim and Jamal back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday evening or afternoon with us. We really do appreciate it. Jamal, say hi to everybody today.
Hey, happy Sunday to everyone out there. Thanks for listening.
Happy Sunday is right. Hopefully everybody's been doing what they're supposed to do to stay safe and, you know, wear those masks, you guys, clean those hands, you guys, do the social distancing, you guys, you know, whatever you have to do to be safe out there. Well, today we've got a number of things to talk about. We didn't have a chance last week to talk about, you know, the fact that there's still slavery going on. So I'm going to point out some things to you that you need to know. You know, you would think in this day and age that this does not exist, but it does still exist. Then we're also going to talk about Jackie Lacey, who's the LA County District Attorney, about her husband being arrested for brandishing, a gun and, you know, telling people he was going to shoot them if they didn't get off their front porch. We're going to talk about that because, Jamal, as you know, there was a similar situation that happened down in St. Louis. So we need to talk about what the differences are with that as well. And then we're also going to talk about the NRA and all this issue that's going on right now about the New York State Attorney General talking about getting rid of the NRA. So that's going to be for an interesting discussion. But before we go down that road, let's talk about a few things. First of all, if you are interested in calling in, I'm going to hold up this number. We did have it on the email blast that went out, but I'm going to hold this up anyway for the dial-in number, the meeting ID number, and the passcode number. All right, so I'm going to hold that up for you. All right, so you have a chance to write that down, take a picture of it with your cell phone or whatever the case may be. Meanwhile, I want you guys to sign up for my Twitter because I'm going to be putting things out as they're happening on Twitter. All right, so for you to sign up for my Twitter, it's Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. Okay, so again, that's Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. Anybody, Jamal, that signs up for my Twitter between this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to send them an autographed copy of my book that on the domestic terrorism safety tips, which is currently on Amazon. So anybody that signs up for my Twitter, okay, I'm going to send them a free book, and I'm going to autograph it for them as well. So there's the call in number.
Up a little bit.
Oh, that's what. Yeah, okay. My production manager was just telling me the same thing. Thanks, Jamal. At any rate, so what we're going to do here, that's Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. You sign up between now and next Sunday. That's the deadline. Send me an email, all right? And is what I will do is send you an autographed copy, all right? That's currently on Amazon and doing very well. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. I held that up long enough. We're going to see what we're going to do now. Now, before we get into this, sometimes what we'd like to do is, you know, talk about a few things. Police officers, Jamal, you know, there's 157 police officers have died in office this year already. And I just want to point out and send a shout out to their families. You guys know I'm an ex-police officer, former police officer, and I like to always mention those things. There's 152, but I want to give you the months. April, there was 38 officers killed in the month of April. I'm giving you the largest months. July, there was 30. And in May was 27. Texas actually has 34 that have died in office. But listen to this, Jamal. Out of the 34 police officers that have died in Texas, 24 died from COVID-19.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And the United States government's had 10 losses. Now, out of all of those police officers, we have 139 males and we have 13 females. So again, I always like to send the shout outs about the police officers and keep my regular listeners, especially in tune to that. Okay. Now, we also need to talk about, my brother-in-law told me about something. I'm not going to talk about it today, but I'm going to put that teaser out there. And that's about the Colonial Marines, the Colonial Marines. Next week, I want to talk a little bit more about the Colonial Marines because they were actually with Britain, and they were freed slaves who left and went to England and actually fought with England in the War of 1812 and the Napoleonic Wars as well. So I thought that was very interesting. So I want to talk more about them, all right? Because we're always talking about our soldiers and, you know, the African-American contribution and things of that nature, you know, soldiers. Our contribution as well. But Jamal, this week for the virtue, I'm going to give a a saying that today I think a lot of people already know this saying. So I didn't go back to the 1900s. This particular saying, believe it or not, the idea of what I'm getting ready to say as the virtue actually dates back to the early Confucian times between 551 and 479 BC. That's how far back this particular one goes. And all of the different religions actually do profess this particular virtue. Now, I know I didn't talk to you about it. You have any remote idea what it might be?
Not a clue.
And when I get ready to tell you, you'll tell me you've heard it 100 times. You ready?
Yeah.
It's actually the golden rule, believe it or not. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, I know you've heard that.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And Jamal, it actually goes back before, you know, they say before Christianity. So, the Christians believe in it, Buddhism, a lot of the different religions actually, profess this. So right. I thought that one would be a good one to do because, you know, today's climate, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, I think is a very good one for right now. And it dates way, way back. So I thought that was a good one to be able to use today. Okay. Having said that, let's get into these emails. First one, Jim, on the international front, do you think the bomb explosion in Beirut was terrorism? A lot of people were injured and killed. Just curious. Jaime from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jaime, no, I don't think that the Beirut. Jamal, you've heard about what's happening in Beirut with that big.
Absolutely, right? I don't. I think whenever there's something like that, there's people that's quick to claim it. Nobody's come forward and try to claim it. It seemed like if you look at the video close, you can see fireworks going off in the distance before the one big explosion happens. I think this thing was just a sad tragedy, but I don't think it was a terrorist attack.
Let me tell you exactly what it was. And Jamal, you're correct. It was not a terrorist act. And as what has now come out, and these people over there are rioting behind this explosion. And I'll tell you why. Because first of all, it was 137 people killed and almost 5,000 injured. I mean, the numbers are still climbing. The people are upset because believe it or not, this had to do with the storing of a particular chemical. All right. And as what happened was, is that it was called ammonium nitrate. That's what it was. Ammonium nitrate was stored there for 6 years. And the Lebanese officials were trying to get the country that stored these there. All of this time, they were trying to get it removed, get rid of it, come and get it type of thing. So here's what happened. The director general of Lebanese Customs said on Wednesday that his office has sent 6 letters to the country's judiciary urging them to deal with the chemicals either by exporting the load, reselling it, or giving it to the army. Guess who had abandoned it? The ammonium nitrate was taken from a ship that docked in Beirut way back in 2013 and was apparently abandoned by its Russian owner and Ukrainian crew. That's what that was. So wow. It's been sitting there for all of this time. And ammonium nitrate, as you can see, is very dangerous stuff. Right. And that's why they've been trying to get them to get rid of this. So let me just tell you. Go ahead.
Is there ammonium nitrate in fertilizer also?
That's right.
Right.
And you know how inflammatory that is.
Right.
There was 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate that have been stored at that port.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's why it looked like a mini nuclear bomb going off.
That's exactly right. And yeah. Jamal, I think you sent me the video on this originally, didn't you send me the video on this?
Yeah, man, that video footage, just several different angles, man, but it's just incredible, man. I mean, you think you're filming something from a safe distance, and when that thing went off, man, that was kind of wild to see. I think it affected people as far as 10 miles away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly how far it was, but I knew that it was substantial. So, yeah. So Jaime, you're asking, do I think it's a terrorist situation? The answer is no. It was not terrorism for sure. And like Jamal said, nobody's taking responsibility for it. The reason why the rioting is going on over there right now is because the people are very upset because they feel this stuff shouldn't have been stored there. And look at the amount of people that have died as a result of this. It was irresponsible on behalf of the Lebanese government to have accepted that there and kept it there for such a long time. And like I said, the director general of Lebanese Customs said that his office had sent out 6 letters trying to tell them to do something with these chemicals and not just to leave them there. And now this was the aftermath. I don't know, Jamal, whether or not there's civil litigation in that country where people could sue and things of that nature. But certainly, if the country was negligent and leaving that there, there's going to be some lawsuits that are going to probably come out of that if over there they're permitted to be able to sue.
Right.
I would suspect in the country that's probably not going to be the case. So at any rate, so Jaime, to answer your question, not terrorism, but I wanted to clarify that because all of this has been coming out now. Okay, let's move on. Second one, Jim, I saw a recent news story that gun sales have once again skyrocketed. Don't these politicians and protesters understand that law-abiding citizens want to protect themselves, and the more they talk about getting rid of police departments, the more we will seek to protect ourselves. Thomas from Syracuse, New York. Jamal, what do you think? I mean, the gun sales, just to let you know, this year, gun sales are up. There have been 10 million new gun owners this year alone. That number is incredible.
As it should be. I think everybody should exercise the Second Amendment right. I'm the first one to agree that people should be able to defend themselves lawfully, defend themselves. And because criminals are always going to find ways to get guns. And if you're in an emergency situation, it takes too long for 911, you know, to get to where you at. And so sometimes you got to be able
911 now might not matter in some places.
I
know, but I'm just telling you what people are saying out there.
Right.
You know, because the realities are, if you defund the police, just look at this, although even people thinking that you're defunding the police versus getting rid of the police departments, and now what are they talking about doing? You know, this anyway, we don't want to go down that path again. But the reality is, let me tell you something. In July alone, all right, the over-the-year surge was 135%, meaning that in July alone, they sold, what was the number? It was almost 1 million guns, Jamal, in the month of July alone.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of gun buying. These gun stores, I'm sorry, you know what? I take that back. There's an estimated 2 million firearms were purchased in July, 134.6% more than July 2019.
Wow.
That's a lot of gun buying.
Right.
You know,
you brought up a conversation about real quick, and I'm not going to go into details too much details because not enough has fully come out yet. But we talking about defunding the police department. Just recently, in LA County Sheriff's Department, one of the deputies came forward and allegedly accused the Compton Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff's Department down in Compton, of having a group called the Executioners. Who has tattoos of skulls on different kind of tattoos, but mainly like skull tattoos on their forearms or someplace on their body. And they supposedly have committed like a lot of criminal acts and things like that. There's one deputy that, like I said, is a whistleblower. And I think things, like I said, this is allegedly. So all the facts haven't come out yet. This is like the beginning stages of this. I wouldn't imagine why one deputy would lie, you know, but people have their own reasons. It could be upset about something. I don't know. So, but I think those are one of the reasons why people talk about defunding the police and trying to start over and rebuild things, you know, a new department.
You know
a new
what? People like to point out things like this, which I understand it, But again, and you and I have had conversations about this, you know, why people are defunding the police department because of things like that. First of all, nobody would say policemen and people in law enforcement are perfect. Okay. Look, we've seen, you know, documentaries on inappropriate conduct by police officers. Nobody is saying that those things don't happen and they're sad when they do happen. But the realities are, is that there's so many more police officers out there that are doing everything and trying to do everything the right way. So just because we have, again, what's the percentage are we talking about here? Even with these guys, you're saying LA County Sheriff's Department. Personally, I know you mentioned that before to me, and I haven't had a chance to do any investigating on that, and I will. But again, what's the size of the group? Two people? Three people?
No, it's...
Was it widespread? I mean, I was on the force...
It's a pretty significant size within that particular department.
We're going to be careful. We're going to be careful about saying it. There's a significant size because there's only one station in Compton, okay?
Right.
And there may be 30 or 40 officers there. So we want to be careful that we don't say significant.
Well, again, I'm saying based on the allegations, all the facts haven't come through. I'm just saying this is just one of the. Situations like this is one of the reasons why people start talking about the idea of defunding police departments. And we've had like things like this in LA before with the Rampart scandal that happened some years ago with the LAPD. Was it 30 years ago?
Well, Jamal, okay, let's say, you had to be a kid when this issue with Rampart happened.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not sure of the time.
I'm not denying that right. There haven't been heavy-handed police officers throughout the year. You look at police officers, you know, and some of these agencies, Jamal, throughout even the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Let's even jump into the 70s. That some of these guys were probably out of control. I don't deny that. You know,
right. Absolutely. You know,
there comes a lot of. I hate to use the word power. But there comes a lot of power with carrying a badge. I mean, I think I've told you this. When I was in the academy, they told us when they gave us our badges that these were the heaviest things we had ever carry because right. There's so much that goes along with it. So I'm going to look further into that. I mean, if they're doing something wrong, hey, I'll put them on blast. I'll put it out there. I got no problem with that. Speaking about on blast, didn't you have somebody you want to put on blast today?
Yeah, man, I want to put on blast one of my very own New York Giants football players, man, by the name of Andre Baker, man. Young kid, he just played his rookie year last year. And apparently this offseason, a few months ago, he has been charged recently of committing armed robbery of four people, four counts of armed robbery. He stole their money. He stole their watches. And drove off in his Lamborghini or Ferrari as if nobody would recognize who he was.
That is completely stupid. And if he's driving that kind of car, are you sure there wasn't something personal in this? I mean, look, a robbery is a robbery. But right. Was something going on? I mean, he just pulled over his car, jumped out.
There was some kind of gambling thing going on in there and stuff like that. And yeah, there was some kind of gambling event going on. And he might have lost a lot of money. There was
he probably felt cheated.
Who knows, man? You know, there was another player with him at the time that was also accused of it at first that played for the Seattle Seahawks. And he was accused of it, but I guess no charges have been filed against him and it's been dropped, which means I'm sure he's going to be testifying against, you know, DeAndre Baker. But anyway, you know, it's just sad to see such a young kid, man, just throw away his life like this, man.
Didn't you tell me that the sentence was it was in Florida, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it happened in Florida.
Florida's rules down there, their laws are very, very strict. I mean, he could be looking at some serious time if he gets convicted.
Right.
You know, I think earlier we talked about 10 years minimum. Wasn't that the one we were talking about?
Yeah, he's facing 10 years minimum all the way up to a maximum of life.
Because of a moment. Emotions. What do I tell my listeners all the time? Don't get caught up in emotions. So who knows? You know, Jamal, when that all comes out, it's going to be interesting why it happened. And the guy probably felt cheated. Maybe if he was in a gambling place, probably shouldn't even have been there, whatever the case may be. Who knows? But the reality is, it's poor judgment on his part. He had an NFL career in front of him, and now he doesn't. tough right. enough to get into professional sports. But look, June, I told you about July with these gun sales. I just want to express this too. In June, there was 145% surge in gun sales compared to last year, with more than 2.38 million guns sold. In May, there was an 80% increase over 2019, 1.7 million guns. April, 71% increase, 1.7 million. So as you can see, these numbers of these people, there's some serious people out there buying guns right now.
Absolutely.
And they also, I'm reading this, the sales began to surge this year because of the upcoming 2020 presidential election and the possibility that gun control advocate Joe Biden would win. It sparked again when Virginia surprisingly put limits on guns and model other states started to eye. So sales really jumped up as well. So I don't know. I don't know how you're ever going to control guns, you know, the sale of guns in this country.
You know, the fear that... You know, the fear that they always have is ridiculous about this banning guns controls and stuff like that. I remember when they put that on President 44, and he never had any policies to ban guns, or nor even tried and attempted to ban any kind of guns.
Ever. Well, Jamal, he was a Republican. You talking about Bush?
No, I said 44. That's Obama.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jamal.
President Obama.
He's a Democrat, Jamal. They did have that fear because of the fact. You're right. I take that back.
Yeah, they did have that fear. Right. And but he never even did it. Never even attempted to do anything like that. So, you know, they spread these fears and panic, man, and it makes them money. Plain and simple.
What did Beto O'Rourke say? You know, when he was running for president, off for a hot minute, we're going to take your guns away. Remember, he was on. Remember, we're going to take your ARs away from you, and blah 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 blah. Well, you see, he faded out.
Right.
You know, look, don't forget, Joe Biden, okay, was the vice president under Obama, and you know, people had that conversation. He's having that same conversation now because, let's face it, you know, people go to those sensitive areas and they say things, and once they get in office, sometimes they don't do what they say that they're going to do. So you're right. Well, let me just tell you, I know liberals out there that are buying guns. So it's not just, you know, people on the right buying guns. Like I said, I know liberals that are buying guns.
Absolutely.
You know, so at any rate, Thomas, we get it. We understand what you're saying here. It is what it is. I don't think they're ever going to be able to take our guns away. Let's look at it from that perspective. I don't think we're going to go anywhere with that. Buying guns, selling guns, all this nonsense we hear that these people running for office. I agree with Jamal. You know, it's you know, what do they think? It doesn't matter. You see where the gun sales are right now. So, you know, that's for a reason. People are going to buy their guns. They're always going to buy their guns and end the story. You know. All right. Third email. And Jamal, you're going to love this one. Jim. Mail-in ballots for a presidential election is insane. If protesters and others don't care about masks in public, then why do they care about mail-in ballots? This is an excuse by the Dems to change the course of the election by fraud. We should fight against it. Sally, Marlton, New Jersey. Well,
are they preparing for a loss already, man? Mail-in ballots has been going on for how long?
No, absentee. Well, hold on, Jamal. Let's talk about absentee ballots versus mail-in ballots. Okay, absentee ballots versus they're not talking about absentee ballots. Okay, those are people that are going to be out of town or whatever the case may be. Now is what they're talking about is these ballots being sent out all across the country, Jamal. So here you are sitting in your home, okay, and you get to send in your vote for president of the United States. And what the person here is questioning is that, look, you got all these protesters out there protesting without masks on, people doing all kinds of things out there without masks on, and they sit up here talking about doing mail-in ballots. Well, wait a minute. Why, if that's the case, and we're being told wear a mask, why can't we stand in line with a mask on, do social distancing, and walk in there where they can check your ID, which is what they do, okay, and check your signature to make sure you are the person that's voting. What's wrong with that?
Hey, I have no problem with it, man. I'll be mailing mine in, but I have no problem with that.
Well, here's the deal. The deal is mail-in voting for many is as simple as sending a letter, but rules vary across the country. I'm reading some excerpts here. When a voter can get their ballot and when it should be returned. In 2016, as an example, more than 73,000 out of 33 million mail-in ballots arrived too late to be counted. Many Americans are expected to vote by mail for the first time in November 2020 because of the coronavirus. CBS This Morning, they did these mock ballots, et cetera. And then the post office screwed that up, which is a big concern for people. I mean, the post office is the post office. But they Jamal, how many times do we get our mail late at the office?
No, that's a fair point. That's a very fair point. That is a very fair point. You know, everybody on each side, look, you know who's going to be crying? The loser.
No matter how you look at it,
the loser is going to be crying to somebody at the other side cheating.
If it's a tight, look, here's what it is. To me, to respond to the person, if it's a tight election, Jamal, it could make a big difference. Because in a tight election, some of those ballots might not be counted, you know, finished being counted, Jamal, for a month or 2 months later.
Yeah, I got a feeling this one's not going to be a tight one. I just got a feeling. Well, one way or the other.
So you think either Biden's going to win overwhelmingly or Trump is going to, either way, you're saying
whoever's the winner is.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm reading some things here from emails from people that are saying, I'm scared it might get lost in the mail. I just don't trust the mail. These are the things that people are concerned about.
You know what? Maybe they should do drive-ups. Drive-up voting.
You know how long that would take? Drive-up? I mean, just like they did the COVID testing with drive-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would take a long time. That line would be awful long. Jamal, I don't really see what's wrong. And again, we're talking about November.
Right.
So right now, a lot of these states like California, where we are, those numbers are starting to drop again. So some of these places, those numbers are starting to drop. This is only early August.
Listen, I think they have a legitimate argument in terms of why can't we vote in person? I mean, everybody's going to grocery stores and standing in line and grocery shopping and things like that. I honestly don't see it being any different than standing in line and voting. I don't. You know what I mean? So for those who, I think they should have both options available.
It's not, and Jamal, I like what you just said. What about the bank? What happens when you go to the bank?
Right.
People have to stand in line.
Right.
So, I don't see, you know, I just got a text message. They can fill out the absentee ballot and drop it off at any polling center. Yeah, there with the go. Absentee ballot, you know. But here's the deal. The deal still is, I don't know why we can't stand in line. When we go to vote, you know, we stand in the line. They check our signature, et cetera. It doesn't even take that long. So
right.
If they just do it with social distancing, what the heck is the big deal?
Right.
You know, look, I agree with, you know, with you know, the administration when it talks about the fact that, I don't know, you know, there's people right now that are so upset on the political side that I think that there's going to be some issues when it's all said and done, where people stuffing ballots, all of that kind of stuff.
Man.
You know, Jamal, while we're on the election in November, what do you think about this that they're putting out that they think that if Trump loses, as an example, he's going to refuse to leave the White House?
Man, I think that's laughable, man. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, man. This some of these Trump supporters, man, that are so radical and so crazy, man. They
but that
might
ain't got nothing
that
to do with him leaving. But that ain't got nothing to do inside. With him.
It doesn't have nothing to do with him leaving. Personally, I think he's going to want to get back to making his running his $1 million businesses, and he's not going to have a problem with it. That's just my thought and opinion on it.
I think his ego, Jamal, is going to have him very upset because man does have an ego. But I don't think he's going to barricade the White House.
No.
Okay, or refuse to leave. You know, if he loses the election, some people think that that's what the story is, but I just can't buy into that. Hey, before I forget, by the way, you guys, if you want to send us an email, so many people do, send it to listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. So as I had also mentioned about doing the Twitter thing, just, you know, Jim Potts, author, sign up. I'll send you that free book. If you want to get our email blast, you know, about the upcoming show topics, I need them to text. I need you to text Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address. So text Potts Associates to 22828 and enter your email address. Hey, well, Jamal, I think you and I are on the same page on that one. We don't think Donald is just going to just barricade the place and just say, you know, I'm not leaving. We got a chat or something coming in here. Hold on a second. Let's see. We got a caller coming in. Okay. Hi, caller. Are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jim Jersey, from
Jersey
again.
Jersey okay. Jill.
You know,
Jersey Jill.
You know,
we almost made it.
You're talking about. Well, you, Jim. You had to know if you're talking about the election. You're not gonna. I'm not gonna call in. I mean, you know, I'm gonna. Well, first of all, let me comment now. Billboards did all this stuff about worry about Trump leaving. That's not an issue because right. He knows that technically his term expires on January 20th. If he doesn't leave on January 20th, you know who becomes president? Nancy Pelosi. Do you think he wants that?
You know what, Jim? That's a good point. That's right.
That's right.
That is a good point, actually.
Win or lose, his term ends on January 20th.
Hey,
he'd have to be
point,
sworn in for a second term if he won.
If Trump loses, I beg him to go ahead and walk quietly out of here and not let Nancy Pelosi become the president of the United States.
No.
Right.
And I think Biden's already said, somebody asked him that question. That's a ridiculous question. I think he already said at some point in some interview, all he has to do is tell the Secret Service to escort him out if he refuses to leave. It's that simple, because once Biden becomes a president, the Secret Service works for him.
Right.
Good point.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you calling.
Escort him out the...
Right. Escort him out the door.
Escort him out the door. But the reason I called, though, I was just waiting to get in. And when you're talking about the app, the bail-in voting, I think the whole idea of fraud has been blown out of proportion. It hasn't been proven. There's been a lot of fraud over the years of mail-in voting right. to make a difference in a presidential election. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. But apparently... There's concern because more people will be able to vote. So that's why Trump put in one of his cronies to run the post office, and they're purposely slowing down the mail right now.
Okay. All right.
And then that's a fact. It's a fact because they've cut the overtime for post employees. They've been told if they don't get to the mail, let's leave it. I mean, that's part of the problem.
Okay, Jim. The post office has had problems with losing money for decades, not just in the last 3 years. And presidents do put people, have a right to pick people for different positions. This isn't the only position he's picked. And every president has a tendency to put somebody in those kind of offices as they are most comfortable with. But as what I'm going to do, because I don't want to digress now from the other show topics, because I appreciate you calling in. But I'm looking at the time, and I got to talk about the slavery still being out there. I got to talk.
Oh,
about
yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
But I appreciate you calling in. Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right. Okay. All right. You're welcome.
All right. Bye. Okay. It's always good to talk to Jim from Jersey Jim. But anyway, Jamal, let's get on to this. Look, the thing about we were talking about slavery, let me just tell you something. There are five countries that still have slavery. Mauritania. All right. And that slavery has been practiced in that country for thousands of years, particularly by light-skinned, they call them Berbers, commonly referred to as Bedan, which is whites, okay? All of whom are the descendants of slave owners from decades and hundreds of years, and thousands of years ago as well. So that country is one. The Sudan, and I know people have heard of the Sudan. So in Sudan... They have slavery in Sudan dates back to medieval times, and it is actually still going on. They had a civil war, the Sudanese Civil War, that lasted between 1983 and 2005. And during the war, human rights campaigners reported a rise in contemporary forms of slavery and accused the Sudanese government of supporting and arming various slave-taking militias in the country. And the majority of those enslaved in Sudan belong to the Dinka, all right, and the Nuba tribes, which are predominantly black in appearance. So that's in the Sudan. And remember, this is still going on, people. We're talking about slavery here. And you have to understand and wonder why, you know, these organizations are not truly speaking out against this type of practice. Libya. I was shocked to find out that Libya is still engaging in this. And they have been involved in the slave trade, even though Libya abolished slavery in 1853. Now let me put on my historian hat for a second. Abraham Lincoln considered being able, because he was concerned that at some point that the slaves, when you free 3 million slaves, where are they going to go, Jamal? So he had considered possibly having them go to Libya way back then. And when Marcus Garvey, okay, did the Black Star Alliance in the early 1900s, he actually had ships to take blacks back to Africa. And it was going to be Libya is where they were talking about taking them to.
Right. Now,
but it still continues unabated, especially since the fall of President Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. The practice is so widespread that human rights organizations are now starting to call for immediate intervention by the international community, who still has not gotten in on this. And keep in mind, by the way, I'm going to hold up on that for a second, because I was getting ready to tell you something else historical, but it's the fifth one. Anyway, Egypt. In 2014, the world was shocked by tales of widespread slavery and torture in the Sinai Peninsula. Tens of thousands of slaves from neighboring African countries were reportedly held for trafficking. Their slaves are alleged to have been chained up and kept in water tankers for up to 6 months. Among them were women that were held as sex slaves. I mean, we're talking modern times here. The last one I want to tell you about, South Africa. South Africa is one of the many African countries, Jamal, that suffered immensely during the transatlantic slave trade. That is where the majority of the slaves came from during the times when slaves were being brought to the Americas.
Right.
So you look at that and say, my God, I mean, you have to wonder, how in the world can this still be going on? And by the way, they have wine production companies in South Africa that are still practicing slavery. So is what I would like to tell people and listeners, that if you go to buy wine, don't buy any wine, in my opinion, that's produced in South Africa. You know, don't do it.
You know, the fact you forgot one more country, man, and I know this is going to be controversial, but I still say our prison systems in the U.S., all that pretty much free labor,
Jamal,
that they doing with the prisoners.
We have beat that dead horse, and I don't care what you say about that. I'm not buying into that picture.
We still need to change it.
Okay. Jamal, in prison, Jamal, they're not doing. Let me give you an idea of what we're talking about. Among the most common forms of slavery in South Africa, forced labor, human trafficking, debt bondage, child exploitation, and forced marriages. I don't think that can compare to the prison system. I'm going to keep moving. At any rate, we just have to understand. And I'll tell you something else. There was a controversy with China a number of years ago. Remember about Nike and some of these places playing these low wages and things of that nature? That was a big issue. You know,
Cheap labor.
Okay.
Cheap labor.
I get you. Cheap labor, Jamal. Prison system, you don't have any rights. Sorry. You know,
anymore.
Now, who said that? Who said they're not human beings?
I'm saying, of course, I'll be sarcastic, but I'm saying, like, cheap labor from human beings is cheap labor from human beings. You know what I mean? Do you remember that interesting case, man, about the cash for kids that was going to the prison system? The judge that was actually sentenced to like 28 years in prison because the prison systems was actually paying him millions of dollars to put kids in the prison systems and stuff like that. Do you remember
they have done certain things. I know with some of those chain gangs throughout the South, that we've all seen and heard those kind of stories as well.
Look up the cash for kids one when you get a chance, man, because thousands of kids was affected by that. I think close to like 2,000 to 3,000 kids was affected by the cash for kids program.
I'm really not familiar with that, but let's look into that. Okay, and delve a little bit further into that next week. So remind me, okay?
All right.
I want to move on. Slavery is slavery. It's out of control. It should not be happening. End of story. Okay? Let's talk about, because I'm looking at the time too. I want to talk about Jackie Lacey's husband, Jamal.
Yeah.
Now, Jackie Lacey is the LA County District Attorney. And she is being, her husband is being charged with 3 misdemeanor counts of assault with a firearm. Now, Jamal, you know the story. You said you saw the video. Tell me what you saw in the video.
What I saw in the video, I saw there were quite a number of people that actually physically came onto his property, knocked on his door, asking for his wife, Jackie Lacey, to come out outside and talk to them. And he opened the door with his pistol and actually pointed it at him, told him to get off his property. Now, in this situation, I'm 100% in agreement with him. That man has every right to. Now they are physically on his property and on his doorstep, and they have no place to be. And not just one or two of them. There was quite a few people out there.
One of the people out there was the head of the local chapter of Black Lives Matters, and she had been trying to see Jackie Lacey. Okay, so I guess somehow or another they got her home address and showed up at her front door, because this particular person, I'm not even going to mention her name on the air, but this particular person has had issues with Jackie Lacey ever since Jackie Lacey has been in office, okay? And so therefore, as a result of that, okay, she's been outspoken against Jackie Lacey. Jackie Lacey is up for re-election. There's a lot of issues going on right now. They showed up at his door. But Jamal, let me ask you a question. What was the difference? And again, let me just emphasize this. The person filing the charge is the Attorney General for the state of California. Okay, so the reason why they did it that way was to avoid any kind of conflict of interest, obviously, because they live in LA County. So since they live in LA County, she's the LA County District Attorney. So they went ahead and filed it. It's been under investigation since March 2nd, which is when this took place. But Jamal, what is the difference in your opinion between the St. Louis couple and the Jackie Lacey, Lacey's husband?
I think the difference is with the St. Louis couple, Jackie Lacey's husband was in the doorway of his home while they was on his porch. I think the situation that happened in St. Louis, they were actually in the street walking past those people's house. They came out on their front lawn with their weapons. Nobody knocked on their door. Nobody even came on their property. They just came outside with guns telling people to move along as a show of intimidation.
And let me just tell you, Jackie Lacey's husband is alleged to have said, and I got it here, I will shoot you. Get off my front porch.
So yeah,
I will shoot you.
Yeah, somebody come knocking on your door like that, a mob of people come physically knocking on your door like that, I'm in full agreement. The other situation, they was walking past his house. They wasn't even looking for him or his wife. They was walking past his house. They didn't
You know what time of the day it was?
What?
It was apparently 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, 4:54 in the morning. Yes, I got a text message
saying it was like 5 a.m. in the morning. So, I mean, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning. See, that means they knew that Jackie was there before she was going to work.
Right.
See, and I didn't even know that part, quite honestly. I hadn't picked up on
that part.
Yeah, okay. But see, here we go. Okay, so now you're talking 5 a.m., somebody banging on your door at 5 a.m. in the morning and ringing your doorbell. I got to tell you, I don't disagree with you on this at all, but it's going to be a political thing. Okay, yeah. Jackie Lacey's up for re-election. Okay, it's an issue with Black Lives Matter. Okay, and these politicians up in Sacramento, because that's where the Attorney General is, you know, they're going to do this because that's what's newsworthy. He's up for three misdemeanor accounts.
And I'm not the biggest fan of Jackie. I'm not the biggest fan of Jackie Lacey either. And you know what I mean? But I think in this particular case, I think her husband was in the right. 4:54 in the morning, somebody come knock, a whole bunch of people like that come knocking on your door. That's not Jehovah's Witnesses coming to say good morning and spread the good word. You know what I mean? So you don't know what those people's intentions were.
The civil attorney, they already have an attorney. The Black Lives Matter people already have an attorney. And they're saying that, and I'm not going to quote his name, he says that he's got them, and that, in his opinion, that they were peaceful protesters, Jamal. Now, how are they peaceful protesters at 5 a.m. banging on your door in the morning on your property?
Right. If they had stayed out the street with megaphones and everything, and he had came out his door like that, then he would be in the wrong.
Right.
But they already up on him close.
At his door.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you something. I kind of agree with that, obviously. But I don't like the way that they always misconstrue things. You know, peaceful protesters. Give me a break. You know what the head of the Black Lives Matter, which was the person who was at that door, she turned around and said, why isn't he being charged with felony charges? Now, see, it's never enough. So she thinks she's going to be charged with felony charges, just like the people out in St. Louis. Well, this is, it's a different set of circumstances.
Could they have filed trespassing charges?
They were on his property without permission, arguably. Who knows what may turn out with that?
And refused to leave when he immediately told him to move.
I think he should have done that before he pulled a gun. But hey, you know, the argument that they're already making is that he was in fear because Jackie Lacey has had a lot of death threats against her. Okay? Right. And I know that she has, because we know one of the people where that is protecting a part of her entourage of protection, police officers that are trying to protect her. So we know that this is definitely an issue. Jamal, what do you think about the NRA, man, and this business that the NRA is going to have this lawsuit filed against them? Now, I know that you have some personal feelings about the NRA.
Look, I'm not for or against the NRA. You know what I mean? To me, you know, good luck to them. You know, like I said, I had an issue. You know what I mean? And correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, with Philando Castile, who had all of his permits and stuff, the NRA didn't like back him up. And I know the NRA has been known to back people up when it comes to Second Amendment rights and stuff like that. So when you have situations like that.
Just to be clear, Letitia James is her name. She, during her campaign when she was running for the office of 2018, said that she was going to, as a point of her, one of her points for running was that she was going to get rid of the NRA. Now, you know, she's got to be a liberal. I'm sure of that. She's a Democrat, as a matter of fact. And the NRA is, by the liberals, is never going to be an organization that they're ever going to like. But her campaign, you know, promised that she was going to get rid of them. That means she's been looking to get rid of them somehow.
Has the NRA been breaking any laws? That's the question.
Well, see, here you go. Now, criminal laws, in my opinion, no. Because what she's alleging, and I'll just tell you what it is. I just want to make sure I get this clear. They allege that they may, it has to do with the fact that they were not handling their finances properly. Let's put it that way, because I'm trying to be careful about what I say.
Right.
So because they weren't handling their finances properly, all right, she feels that they may have violated some kind of law regarding the handling of these of monies, et cetera. But the realities are, to me, that should be an issue with the membership of the NRA. Why would the attorney general want to step in because she feels that they, you know, that the people at the top are having an extravagant lifestyle, they're not handling the money right? Who is she to say that? The membership, if they don't like those people, should get rid of them.
Well, the government steps in a lot of times when, you know what I mean? Just like, like something, I know it's kind of different, but like even minimum wage laws, the government might step up and force a company to raise minimum wage. Whereas, you could argue like maybe people shouldn't work there if they don't want to work for a low pay. So the government has been known to step in and, enforce laws, rules, and regulations. So if they violated a law, then they got to answer for it if they did.
But that doesn't mean you don't disband the whole thing. The governor of Texas said, you know what, they can move down here. Open up your office down here. Texas doesn't mind. Texas will take everybody.
And maybe they should.
Yeah. You know, I think that's even what Trump said. The NRA president, Carolyn Meadows, responded by calling the lawsuit a baseless, premeditated attack on the group and the Second Amendment. He said, you could have set your watch by it. The investigation was going to reach into crescendo as we move into 2020 election cycle. It's a transparent attempt to score political points and attack the leading voice in opposition to the leftist agenda. And it's a power grab by a political opportunist. You know, our membership won't be intimidated or bullied, which is true. They got to go through this. NRA members have had to go through this for a very long time, man. This is not new stuff at all. Jamal, what's happening on the sports scene?
Anything? Oh, we discovered, hey, you know what? Let's look forward to Mike Tyson tonight. He's going to be on Shark Week.
Is that tonight?
Jumping in the ocean with the sharks and swimming with them.
Did you see that commercial? He was supposed to be like, that was supposed to be like a surfboard that he punches and he breaks it. That thing is made out of styrofoam. Look closely at that commercial, man.
And he says somebody's going to get bit.
Right.
Hey, man, you know what, man? Shout out and props to Mike Tyson, man. He seemed like he's living his best life, man. And he seemed like he's, you know, changed a lot of his ways. And he seemed like he's really enjoying life, man. Hey, salute to Mike Tyson, man. Nothing wrong with that.
He turned it around. Okay, Jamal, we're going to have to close out the show. So, all right, you've been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio, and it is time to close out the show. Be sure to join us next week. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, and be safe. More importantly, hey, be a reluctant victim out there, you guys. Don't just roll over to some of this stuff. All right, Jamal, take care.
Later.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.